Okay, and this week we're talking to Professor Damien Kingsley from Deakin University, who's an observer of the situation in East Timor. We're very interested in the results of the Truth and Friendship Commission report, which I think sort of surprised some people, and even though the results were, you know, things that everybody knew. But the way it was accepted was interesting.
G'day, Warwick. Look, the Truth and Friendship Commission, on one hand, said more than some people expected that it would. It was fairly damning about the Indonesian military, and the Indonesian government did say that the violence in East Timor in 1999 was an all-of-government affair, and that was a big admission for Indonesia. But, of course, it didn't name names. It didn't identify the people who were responsible, even though that information's been publicly available now for a few years. And in that regard, it was a bit of a letdown. But it went further than some people expected, but obviously still not far enough to be meaningful.
And some people were surprised that the president of Indonesia actually, you know, took some of the finding of that commission on board.
Yes, Yudhoyono did say he deeply regretted the events of 1999, so that was a big thing for him to say, but of course he didn't actually apologise, and as I've mentioned, there's not going to be any follow-up to this. There's no judicial process. So again, on one hand, he said a lot, given that he's an Indonesian president, but it wasn't really enough, I think, for most of the people in East Timor, or indeed for the international community.
And the Australian government hasn't really been, I mean the media has been very active on the results of this commission, but we haven't heard much from the Australian government.
No, well, that's fairly consistent. The Australian governments for decades have been very low-key about criticising Indonesia, or especially over its involvement in East Timor. And I think that the government acknowledged that the report had come out, and that Indonesia had said that it expressed deep regret. But, of course, Australia's not going to push any further than that. You've got to keep in mind that governments in Australia of both persuasions have been very reluctant to upset Indonesia for decades, and really I don't think there's any change in that that position.
So as a political scientist, is this going to have any ramifications inside the sort of like the politics of Timor-Leste? Because I know some of the leaders who supported the Truth and Friendship Commission were criticised.
Well, that's an interesting point, because the Truth and Friendship Commission was actually set up under the previous government. So I don't think anybody can really be too critical about how the process has been handled, or what the respective positions of the parties have been. Certainly, José Ramos Horta, the president, has been quite conciliatory towards Indonesia all the way through, but he's been absolutely consistent in that, and Janana Gusmao has also been like that. But again, as I said, what we saw was the Truth and Friendship Commission, and the terms which really made the outcome inevitable was agreed to by the previous Prime Minister, Mario Alkatiri. So I think really that on one hand, all Timorese politicians bear some responsibility for what amounts to the failure of the Commission to produce any concrete results. On the other hand, all of them also acknowledge that Indonesia is a very large neighbour, and it really can destabilise East Timor any time it likes, and they have to be very careful in how they play out the relationship with that that big neighbour.
And there seems to be reluctance to take this issue to the international arena.
Well, the United Nations didn't support the process, and indeed refused to participate in it and to provide any information or witnesses to it. So in that regard, I think the United Nations has regarded the process as a sham and essentially not being worth undertaking. Beyond that, there's very little that can be done. If the United Nations is not prepared to pursue this through the International Criminal Court, then, and indeed that would be a very difficult process in any case, then there's really not much that can be done. And of course, as I mentioned, East Timor and the political leaders of East Timor have already decided that they're not going to do that, that they don't want to see a criminal process, because they really have to play their relationship with Indonesia very carefully.
And yet, inside Indonesia, the fact that, you know, next year's one of the people implicated in the report, I think it's Wiranti, is running for president. Yeah, report might be a bit of a political game. If that guy is open to prosecution, it might be knocking out a political opponent.
Well, it could be, but there's a couple of issues there, one of which was nobody was actually named in the report. So Wiranto wasn't named, even though he was clearly a key person who was responsible for events. There's no question about that.
Okay.
Being the commander-in-chief of the armed forces at the time. But it's interesting, I think, in Indonesia, this would not necessarily play against him, that, in fact, you know, he might actually come out of this with an enhanced reputation, because you've got to keep in mind that an awful lot of Indonesians are, to use their term, nationalists. And they actually are still very angry about the loss, as they see it, of East Timor, and believe that the actions of the TNI and the militias at that time was, in fact, correct. So, really, it doesn't necessarily play against Wiranto in the domestic political environment. And, of course, if he was ever charged under any international statute, then again, that wouldn't necessarily hurt his chances domestically. It would just mean that he would have difficulty in travelling.
As far as the East Timorese, who I think feel that they have been the victims of the, you know, injustice of war crimes, you know, where do they stand, and how does that affect the political situation in East Timor?
Well, look, there's many people in East Timor whom I think quite legitimately feel that they have not received justice. And that's a fairly obvious thing to say. The problem is that they're not likely to receive justice. Indeed, what we've seen recently is the pardoning of a number of criminals, former militia members, for quite horrific crimes, and yet they've only served a few years of their sentence, very long sentences, and now they've been pardoned. So there's a lot of, I think, going to be a lot of resentment, a lot of bitterness in East Timor over the whole of the Indonesian occupation, and in particular the way it finished. But that's life. I mean, really, the capacity to do anything about it now is very limited, and I think that their grievances are legitimate, and if they're angry, that's legitimate. But it's probably not going to produce any sort of material outcome.
You don't think it affects the sort of like the political situation in the politics of Timor-Leste as it is at the moment?
Oh, look, I think probably not. And the reason for that is because both of the main blocs in politics in East Timor, both the ANP government and the Fretilin opposition, both endorsed the terms of the Truth and Friendship Commission. Both are equally as culpable for its outcome. And both, I think, acknowledge that they have to maintain cordial relations with Indonesia. We've got to keep in mind that when Mari Alkatiri was Prime Minister, he visited Indonesia and was received very warmly and was warm in response. So I think that this is, for whatever problems this might raise and whatever doubts it might raise, that the attitude, I guess, towards Indonesia and the recognition of having to keep it on side is a bipartisan one. That's not an issue of dispute between the major political groupings within East Timor. And look, many ordinary East Timorese might be very disappointed with that, and I think they'd be perfectly justified in feeling that way, but the reality is it's probably not going to change the situation.
Okay, well, thanks very much for talking to Community Radio, Damien. And
thank you very much, Warwick.
Okay.